director of this message, and I pray that you will speak through me, change hearts, and let me speak only what you want me to speak. In Jesus' name, amen. I had to whittle down this message about 4 or 5 times, so there's a lot in me, and I will share as much as I can with you. There is a beginning and there is an end. We were talking on Tuesday night about being transformed, and I mentioned mindset, you know, that we have to have our mindsets changed. That's really the only way we're going to be transformed. And then, of course, the Lord is just so amazing. I've been reading Jack Hayford's version of the Bible again. And right in the middle of Romans there, he's talking about being transformed. Well, yes, it has to do with your intelligence, but it also has to do with your mindset, which has to do with your will and your emotions. So it is a change, and it is a change that you can see. And when you change, you begin to walk in a different manner other than the way you did when you were an old man or an old woman. And I don't mean that age-wise. I mean in the spirit realm. I am going to talk today about the excellencies of Christ. And I want you to understand that God, when you start to read the Word, and most of you are readers of the Word, He begins to unfold the reality of who He is in the Word. It's just a beautiful moving as you wait on Him and meditate. Then He brings you into contemplation. The contemplation part is when He talks to you. So that's not anything you're in control of except to wait. The meditation part, you have something to say about it, and what are you thinking about? You want your mind to be renewed and transformed by the presence of God. So this came out of my study of Hebrews. I'm now in Romans, so I'm in another place, but I'm still going to share because it's so powerful. And 2 verses in Hebrews talks about 7 excellencies of Christ. Christ within you is the hope of glory. Now, hope is the joyful anticipation of good. It's not just like a hope, a hope, a hope. I forget who, some cartoon used to do that. Hope, hope, hope. But that's not what it is. It has to do with the reality of who God is. Okay. You're going to give me a hard time here? No, you're not. I found a verse in Jeremiah which kind of went along with what I was feeling in my spirit. And I wanted to share that with you before I continued and went on with this word, because it's really about the reality of the change that has to happen. And it doesn't matter if you are a husband or your wife or your friends or your kids, do it. You have a choice to make whether you're going to follow Christ. And if they don't, well, okay. So you still be a shining light for them to see. Your neighbors, your friends. I rehearse on Saturday. Pastor Roy and I will go through the songs and sing, and I spend the whole day with the Lord. And this morning when we were getting into the car, my neighbor, who I prayed for her children, got healed of cancer, her daughter, in so many ways she's been touched because of us. Promised to come to church, but she hasn't. So she just said to me, I love when you sing. I just sit in my backyard and I just... So I said, well, that's, I thank you for that. I really appreciate that. I said, why don't you come to church? You can hear a whole concert. Anyway, she said, I'll get there, I'll get there. But it's part of the ministry that goes out this way. And you see and hear once in a while the Lord will send you somebody like Karen to say, oh, I really enjoy your singing. For all the work that you do. Anyway, Hebrews 1:3, before I read the scripture in Jeremiah, it says, I encourage you as believers to hold fast. The great I am is with you always and wants to give you all that he has supplied through Jesus Christ, his son. Jesus is the full provision. I just wanted to stop a moment and think about what you're trusting and who you're trusting in. So this scripture in Jeremiah, it says, Jeremiah 17:7. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spread out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. So God is the one that searches our hearts. He's the one that speaks to us. The Holy Spirit is the one that convicts us of sin and brings us, shows us the way out. And then I thought it was interesting because when I read a scripture, I don't ever just read the scripture. I read all the everything that's around it. So the verse that starts for 5 says, "Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes." I thought that was interesting. But shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. He'll be like a tumbleweed on the prairie. We don't want to be tumbleweeds. We want to be those who are blessed and trust in the Lord. I'm making a case for the excellencies of Christ. There's 7 of them. I want to talk about them. I want to share about what it means and the fact that Christ within is the hope of glory. He's inside of you. This is the Christ who is in you. He's the I am. He is the I am. That song that we did this morning, this afternoon, called I Am, I have been singing that for like a couple weeks. And it's just builds my spirit, and that's what we want, right? We've been putting the emphasis on meditation and then the contemplation, waiting on God. The Lord gave me this scripture. I mean, I've read this scripture before, but the particular way that it was presented was beautiful. We want to be waiting in the secret place. We want to be still and know. So can we really know? Can we really know God? I have people that say to me, no, but I know him. And I know when he's talking to me. Jeremiah 29:14 says, "I will be present for you. I will let you find me," says the Lord. "I will let you find me. Let all that I am wait quietly before God, for my hope is in him." Hope, again, being the joyful anticipation of good. See, if you're expecting good, you will get it. Yes? "Let all that I am wait quietly before God, for my hope is in him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will not be shaken." There's a place we can go where we will not be shaken. That was my verse last night, and I didn't sleep too much because I kept thinking about this fortress where I will not be shaken, that I was encased in this castle. Another place it says, "He's solid rock," same verse, "under my feet, breathing room for my soul, an impregnable castle. I'm set for life." We exchange the I am, us, let all that I am be filled with the I am. That was how the Lord was giving me the reality of that scripture. Let all that I am be filled with all that he is. So I give up what I am so that I can receive what he is. Who he is. Okay. Last week, I had an encounter with the Lord. I was crying out to him. And so you got to explain to me a little bit more. I mean, you think, why do you have to know more about? But the body of sin. He explained to me about the body of sin. Romans 6:7-8, I live, go in and out of there so many times. So I was walking around my yard, and I had this sticker bush that I saw start growing, and then a month went by, and it was still growing. And, Ariel and Chris and the babies were with us, so there wasn't too much weeding going on in between anything else. So the weed kept growing and growing and growing. Until it came out, it was like sticking on the other end of my rhododendron, this big, and I couldn't just pull it out because I do that, because it was a sticker bush. So at this point, I'm asking the Lord, so what he said to me is, go get your cutters and pull up that weed. So I went over there and I cut off the couple of branches, and he said, no, I pull up the weed. Okay, so I go behind the rhododendron, and I don't know why I was going somewhere, there wasn't a lot of time, but I went behind the rhododendron and I bent down, and there was this huge thing. It was like this fat. So I go down. I said, Lord, I don't think this is going to work, because it's not going to come out that easy, and the root's going to be stuck in there, and then I'm going to be here forever. This was my mind. Just so I said, well, then you got to help me. So I bend down, I put the pruning shears in, and the whole thing just comes right out. So the Holy Spirit said, that's because the water has watered that ground. So that, and he said, that's the body of sin. He said, it has to be pulled up. It has to be dealt with. You can't just say, oh, I believe that. No, that thing has to die. So I pulled it up, and I left it there. And then I look over, and there's two other roots. Now, I had been in and out of John and out of Isaiah, talking about the root and the branch and Jesus and Christ. And, you know, he's the branch that budded and, you know, being attached to the vine and, you know, the Jews and don't be despising them because it's okay. You got grafted into the root. So here's these two other ones, and I'm looking down, I'm going, can I do the same thing? Yeah. So I pulled up the two of them. They came right up, and he said, that's the three. Mind, soul, and body. The mind was the biggest one. So then he said to me, that's how easily it happens when you stay saturated. So the word is to stay saturated. So Jesus, thank you, Lord. I was like, I don't want to share that. Okay, anyway. It's too much on the pages. Okay. In Hebrews 1, 2, and 3, it's 2b and 3. It's not even the whole second verse. His heirship, he's the heir of the entire universe. His creative power. He is the creator. He was there at creation. He is the one that's creating even now. His effulgence, which is his glory, his manifested glory, which is absolutely amazing. His being, his absolute being. He's the image of God. When we want to know what does God look like, or how is he acting, we look at Jesus. His administration, he is the ruler. He is the head of the universe. His sacrifice, only one time. There was only one man who went to the cross, who was Jesus, who died for our sins. All the rest of the gods have to bow to the reality of the sacrifice that Jesus made. And then finally, his rest and his reign. Jesus sat down, and that signifies his authority, his sitting down. He sat down at the right hand of the Father. So Hebrews 10:23 reads, let us hold fast the confession of our hope. What is hope again? Joyful anticipation of good. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. The theme of Hebrews is let us hold fast. It's a really good book to read. Even if you don't study it, even if you just read through it. Because there's so much in there that it's encouraging. Christ is God's Savior for us. Christ is God's Savior for us. From every peril, his supply, he is a supplier for every need. He's the reservoir of every blessing. To know him will deliver us from every danger, and therefore God, the present Holy Spirit of truth, expounds on the glories of the Son of God. Who is who? What did you say, Dawn? I thought you answered.
I did answer.
The Son of God is Jesus. Is that what you said? He's Jesus. Yes, you're right. Speak it out, girl. That's right. Yes. It's okay. I didn't hear what you said. Anyway, we could talk in here, Millie. We do a lot of talking. Millie and I go back way back. We used to let our girls, her daughter and my Fran and my daughter Sarah were in the same grade, and they were in youth group together, and we used to go over her house. And I'm telling you, Millie is one of the most hardest working women I've ever in my life. She was such a hard worker. And then she went and found the living God in a whole other manner. And she came to me and said, "Do you know that you could do that?" I said, "Yes." "Yeah." And so I'm elated to see her. I can't wait to sit and talk with her. And Sarah and Franny are friends on Facebook. I don't know if they've gotten together yet, but God knows. She's a true believer. Remember I told you a while ago, you know, when there's a spirit-to-spirit, there's a spirit-to-spirit with Millie and I. We both love Jesus with everything in us. We both suffered and suffocated and gone through all kinds of things. But she got a big smile on her face. You see that big smile on her face over there? Because she knows Jesus. And he has proven himself to her over and over and over again. And we welcome Joanne. I got this random email from Joanne. I said, "Okay, where's your church? I'd like to come and visit." I said, "Sure." So here she is. And she brought my friend with her. Wonderful. Okay. Jesus is the I Am. His heirship. I'm going to go down all seven of them. Here we see the primary reason why the universe was brought into being. It exists that the Father may show his love for the Son. Oh, you thought it was about you? No. Everything that exists for Jesus Christ. His creative power. When the writer of Hebrews says, "Through whom also he made the worlds," this is all that one portion of Scripture in Hebrews 1, 2, and 3. He is not talking about the creations of the universe. The word worlds is not cosmos, but aeon means the ages. I thought this was very interesting. The discussion, he's talking about the Old Covenant and the New Covenant ages. The Old Testament and the New Testament ages, not the creation of the universe. See how important the Bible is. They are contrasted. The two covenants, the two ages are contrasted in the book of Hebrews. He's not only the cause of the ages, but he's the reason for which they were created. His effulgence, Hebrews 1:3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Jesus. John 1:18, no one has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father. He has declared him. God has declared Jesus to be the Son and the Savior. Jesus expresses God to us. Whether it's the Shekinah glory, the burning bush, the angel of the Lord, it is always the pre-incarnate Christ that's being shown and displayed, Old Testament and New Testament. In Isaiah 6 says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. The whole earth is full of his glories. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." In Revelation 1, John, the Revelator. Then I turned to see the voice. Oh, you can see the voice? I turned to see the voice that spoke to me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. That's Jesus. That's who Jesus is. Isaiah saw Jesus, and John the Revelator saw Jesus. Revelation means to lift the veil. You remember I shared that powerful encounter I had with the Holy Spirit about the veil. I live there now. I go in and out of the veil. I see it in my spirit mind that whatever it is that I'm struggling with, I go behind the veil and get rid of it. Because the veil's been rent. There's no veil. Curtain. The Lord showed me how the curtain was pushed aside and opened. And when Jesus died, it was torn apart from the top to the bottom. So there's no veil. We can go into the presence of the Lord and receive whatever we need. Four is his being, the express image of his person. Jesus Christ is the exact reproduction of God in human form, his nature or his essence. Colossians 1:15 reads, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. I think about that scripture and I think about Jesus going ahead of us, and we're his brothers and sisters and we're following him. There's something so amazing about Jesus that I don't understand why a lot of people don't follow him and go after him, because he's so incredible. His power, his reality. I mean, it took me fall on my face before I said yes to him too, so I can understand that part. But once you know him, we have to pursue him. He's not going to just come over and fall on you. I mean, he does here because Pastor Roy and I are pursuing him. This, what I'm pouring into you, is because I sat quietly before the Lord and he opened this whole thing up for me. And I'm able to share with you what God showed me and what he spoke to me. Jesus, now here, this is amazing. Jesus, John 8:58 says, Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. What was the response of the Jews to Jesus saying that? Does anybody remember that part of the story? Jesus, in claiming to be the I am, was asserting equality with God himself and was revealed as the I am that I am, the self-existent eternal God. Exodus 3:14 reads, and God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel. So he told to the children of Israel in the Old Testament, I am has sent me to you. And Jesus said in the New Testament, I am the I am. I am is a transliteration of the personal name of God in Hebrew, the Yahweh, those four letters. It is sometimes called the Tetragrammaton. I love that word. That's the Yahweh without the vowels. Adonai, O Lord. By Jesus saying that he was the I am, he claimed an absolute and timeless existence. The Jews definitely understood that claim. What they did was they stoned him. They picked up stones and started throwing them at him. And he went between, you know, in the crowd and left because it wasn't time. That was John 8:59. I love that whole reality of the I am because I am not. So I need him to be the I am. That whole scripture in Psalm 62, all that I am, wait quietly before the I am. His administration, upholding all things by the word of his power, supporting, maintaining, responsible governmentally. Present tense, upholding all things by the word of his power. Present tense means a continuous action. He's still doing it now. Right now, he's up. If I don't know about you, but when I look at flowers and I look at the sky and the clouds, and I love trees, I watch trees move and grow, and the leaf, I think about God. It just shows me when I look at my grandchildren wandering around. I think it's amazing to me. Like, where did these kids come from? That's what Sarah says. Where did these kids come from? I said, well, I don't know. I didn't make them. But Pastor Roy and I used to say the same thing. Where did these four kids? Where did they come from? Well, God made them. He made them. It's amazing. And such a beautiful, I'm so blessed that, you know, all of my three children that have children are raising their children in the faith. It's such a beautiful thing to see. I'm able to impart the truths of the kingdom to them, and they hear what I'm saying. And some, you know, Sarah is deaf, so there's certain things she doesn't hear, and, you know, she asks me different questions, and I tell her. I always tell her, you know, when we're together, what the kids are saying. And then she laughs or whatever. She says, oh, I didn't know that he said that to you. I said, well, it's all right. but she's able to deal in a different manner because I'm there talking to her about what's going on with her children. And her children talk to me, so it's very funny. We had a whole conversation about flesh-eating monsters and... Shiloh, where did you hear about flesh-eating? She tells me, Jonathan is afraid of flesh-eating monsters. I said, Jonathan is only 10 weeks old. He doesn't know anything about flesh-eating monsters. Oh, yeah. And she's so expert. Yeah. I said, no, there's no flesh-eating monster, Shiloh. Yes, there is. Then, no, there isn't. I said, but there's angels around, if there were any, and the angels will take care of them. I said, Jesus is real. I said, they're not real. I said, Jesus is real. Jesus is real. I mean, like that. Boom. I don't know. So I said, somebody's been whispering in your ear. So Olivia comes home and she says, I know who was whispering in her ears. I said, yeah, who? She says, Satan. I'm sure of it. I'm sure of it. Because God would not be talking to her about flesh-eating monsters. Anyway, it's all those little things that are fun. His administration. I said that already. Applying continuous action. Sorry, I got a little on the side with my beautiful little children. Everything in the universe is sustained at this moment by Jesus. Think about how amazing that is. Right now, where you are, he knows, he sees you. There's a scripture, a word that says, thou God seest me. He sees you. He knows what's going on in your life. He knows what you need. What a beautiful, beautiful way for a Father God to take care of his children. Abba, I belong to you. He's the principle of cohesion. So if people are not in that cohesion, they cannot receive the blessing of that cohesion, right? They can't. You need Jesus. You have to come to Jesus. 6, his sacrifice. When he had by himself purged our sins. The cleansing is based upon a past action and is completed at the altar of the cross. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is not only the creator, but the redeemer. He's the redeemer. He's the creator and the redeemer. He's the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, and all everything that's in the middle is amazing. 7 is his rest and his reign. We need to come into a place of rest. We need to be able to rest in the love of God, rest in the presence of God, rest, be still, and know that I am God. Zephaniah 3:17, I mean, he dances and rejoices and spins around. How much does he love you? I mean, I do that with my grandchildren. I think about it. Pastor Roy does. He sits on the chair and they're all on top of him. But they love him. They love him because he lets them jump all over them. They don't jump over me like that, but we play. We do other things. But they feel comfortable with him. And we have to feel comfortable with God. We have to know that we can come into his presence with whatever it is that's happening with us and receive grace and help in the time of need. He's our refuge and our strength, a very present help. His rest and his reign, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. This is one of the most stupendous realities in the entire universe. The work of redemption is finished. It was accomplished by Jesus Christ and him alone. The supreme honor accorded to the triumphant Lord, the Son has now authority to rule his worldwide kingdom on earth, and it is enthroned above all spiritual powers in heavenly places. All spiritual powers in heavenly places. All of them. All the spiritual powers, including your flesh. He is enthroned on it. If you let him sit on your heart as a throne. God has given him a name that is above every name. Lord Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Hebrews 4:14-16. Seeing then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, and yet without sin. So he can lead us the way out, right? When we're tempted, he can lead the way out because he knows. And he overcame it. He's the overcomer in us. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 7:25 reads, therefore he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Always lives to make intercession for them. Always lives to make intercession for us. Always lives to make intercession for us. Through Jesus Christ, we can live a victorious life, but you know, this transformation, we have to come into a place to be completely dependent on him. Even Psalm 62 says, let all that I am quietly wait before the I am. So let me give up all that I am so I can receive. This doesn't happen just once. This happens every day and a million times during the day where you have to make choices to follow Christ and not yourself. I find it easier now because I've been walking. I just had my 39th birthday in Christ, August 1st. It's easier now to follow him than it was when I first came to the Lord, because when I first came, I was very rebellious and independent. But I asked every question, and I looked up every verse that was preached in my Bible to find out if it was true. And most of the time, I didn't like what I was finding because I was doing everything my own way for a long time. But I went to the cross, and I found his love and his deliverance. And Jesus delivers me all the time. It's not a one-time deliverance. He is the deliverer of every day. Whatever it is that you gotta need deliverance from, he is there. Trusting him in all things, his seating is an enthronement. He is the king of the universe. So consider your own life. Consider that God sent Jesus to die for your sin and to be resurrected and ascended and sat down. It's done. Yes? It's done. But what do we have to do? We have to enter in believing with faith. We have to come into the presence of God and believe. What are you believing? What are you trusting? What are you trusting? He's at the right hand, Jesus himself, of God the Father, and he reigns over all government. He reigns over President Trump and his cabinet. God is reigning over the president. Jesus possesses in himself all the qualifications to be the mediator between God and man. He's the prophet through whom God has spoken his final word to men. He's the priest who has accomplished the perfect work of cleansing for his people's sin. He's the king who controls and sustains all things. Prophet, priest, and king was the same thing that Daniel, who is, you know, pre-Christ, those were the three things that he came into those positions. Prophet, priest, and king, as the, you know, an example of Jesus who was coming. As we run the race of the Christian life, we need to focus on the I am, Jesus Christ, and never give up. He is our excellent glory, and he is within us. He's our God. I'm going to end with something that was a little interesting. I don't know, how many of you listen to K-Love? Few of you, I would suggest that you all listen to Caleb. I think it's 96.7. The songs that are played and the scriptures that are shared are so uplifting and encouraging that it's well worth a listen. The Lord told me that he was going to show me everything of these sevenfold excellencies of Christ over the last 2 days. And he did. Well, after I left my dad, I was cried most of the way home and was so grateful to God. Just so grateful to God. He actually, when I left, he said, "Oh, you look good." I said, "Yeah, you look good too, Dad." But he was aware. And he knew, "Oh, you're here." That's what he said. That's miraculous. That's a miracle. That is a miracle. And I'm grateful to God. Anyway, on the way home, listening to K-Love, these are the songs and some of the words that I heard. I'm unfinished. Forgiven. I am. Jesus breaks every chain. In his arms, I am soaring as I wait. Come to the altar. I trust in Jesus. I love that song by Third Day. I love it. I trust in Jesus. One step away from home. You're not alone. One more day and he'll make a way. There was one point when I was a little over, you know, having my daughter and son-in-law at the house. And I was standing at the kitchen and going, "All right, Lord, I need you. I need you to strengthen me because I want to just love them and send them on their way and launch them," which is what the Lord had given me. An opportunity to relaunch them into their life, and that's the song that came into my heart. One more day, you will make a way. So I started singing. You know, the next. What's the next line? What, honey? One more day, he will make a way. Let him show you how. Something about God you love. Anybody know? Anyway, it encouraged me the whole day. And I was singing it. And then Chris came home. I was still singing it. Now, I have to tell you, Chris was super challenged because he had to borrow Ben's wife Elaine's car. He does not drive very well, and he had to drive. Yeah, he's Asian. He had to drive back and forth. I mean, we had to make a joke about it. We had to drive back and forth to the city like five and a half hours every day. He was used to living in Queens, getting on the subway or the bus, and boom, 45 minutes, he was there and home. So by the time he got home, I could see him. He was like, and he had to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to get to work on time. So we had this mutual society. He would sit on the couch. I said, "Chris, I feel so bad for you. I'm so sorry." He goes, "I love you, Mom. I really love you, and I appreciate what you and Dad are doing, but I can't wait to get in my own house." I said, "Yeah, sure." So, you know, we all knew what was going on. And what we were all dealing with each other. You know, my daughter is very organized and controlling. Took over my refrigerator, took over my laundry room, took over the shelves in the laundry room, the two rooms upstairs. I mean, they were covered with bags full of clothes and things that they took out of that apartment, and they're not there anymore. But you know what? I go up there and I thank God. I thank God for them. I thank God that we had an opportunity. We were able to minister to them. See, I had no idea that was going to happen. But see, I keep myself filled. And this is one of my, what I'm filled with, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Filled so that whatever comes my way, whatever it is, I'm able to overcome it and stand on top of the situation, so that my flesh is under my feet and the enemy is under my feet. I'm not receiving anything less. I had a physical and I have a wonderful report. I am fine. And she went through all the things that I have gone through over the last 10 years, and I had to laugh. Anything else? I said, "No, I'm good." But you know what? I went through all of those things, and I'm on the other side of it. They're not bothering me anymore. They're not disturbing me. John, I want to tell you that I had a very poignant and personal intercession for you, for your job. The Lord actually came down on me, and your face was in front of me. So I am believing God that soon there will be a breakthrough for you. So let's pray. Lord, we just come into your rest. Your word says to rest in the Lord and wait patiently for you. So we do. We come into your presence, rest, and wait patiently for you. And sometimes we're not so patient. So, Lord, give us the fruit of your spirit, which is patience. And let that patience have its perfect work, that we may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing, desiring nothing. When you came in my heart, Lord, nothing of the world was enticing anymore, and still the same way. You alone are worthy of all of my praise and honor and glory. And I thank you. I thank you for the reality of your living, breathing presence in my heart. I pray for each soul here that they would experience you in a greater measure, in a greater way. No weapon formed against us will prosper. Every tongue that rises against them in judgment and against us in judgment, we condemn. And we thank you, Lord, that we can mount up with wings as an eagle as we wait upon you. That you have spoken to our hearts to be strong and of good courage and do it. So we're following you, Lord, whatever that means in each individual life. We're following you and trusting you. In Jesus' name. Amen.